time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Power. Hour. LSU. Boom!
All night long. Yes.
Let's freaking go. I know it's the middle of off season, but I've got to be honest with you. I'm not sure I can remember a spring day that pissed me off more than today. That's coming up because the SEC did something they should have never done. I'm also going to talk a little bit about Matt McMahon. Are we starting to fade just a little bit on the Matt McMahon bandwagon? We'll talk about that coming up as well. But Gary Nussmeier did speak with the media. I do want to start off with a very bold quote that he shared today.
I think I saw a quote attributed to you saying 10 wins isn't good enough anymore.
Yeah.
You said that recently. Yes. Can you expound upon that?
Yeah, no. I think if you asked any of us that, we'll tell you we don't believe that that's the standard anymore. Going into year three, in this system and not even on the field, but off the field and how we do things on a daily basis, how we act, how we move around this building, how we do things outside of this building. It's all changed. And we hold ourselves to the standard to where we believe, like I said, 10 wins is not enough anymore. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, we have to win a national championship. That's not how we think, but it's about the little things. It's about doing the little things the right way. And that leads to a championship culture.
Is it hard?
You heard the man. 10 wins is not good enough anymore. It's not. I love it. Absolutely love it. Does that mean it's a college football playoff lock, though, for LSU? Does it mean that we should go on ahead and pencil in LSU to play meaningful football in late December? Well, the good news, if 10 wins is no longer the standard, that means LSU is going to go 11-2 next season. If they go 11-2 next season, they're in the playoff. They are in the playoff. There is no doubt about it. A two-loss LSU team would have enough quality wins with two Power 5 out-of-conference games. If you go 11-2, you are a lock to get into the playoff. And the truth is, you need to go 10-2, right? Because 10-2 means you went 10-2, 10 wins in the regular season, only two losses. So Garrett Nussmeier is setting a new standard. But it's not just him. It's basically everyone in the building. Because over the last couple of seasons, back-to-back 10-win seasons for LSU, that's obviously a great thing. SEC West Championship, that's obviously a great thing. But you don't get remembered at a school like LSU when you've won three national championships in the past couple of decades. So, with Garrett Nussmeier, he is expecting a college football playoff next season, which lends itself into our next topic to start today's show. Jared, thank you so much for your very generous super chat. We say hi to Tyler. A lot of PHL legends in here at the beginning. Tony, we are back at our normal time, 6 p.m. No basketball, baseball, or anything conflicting. So good to be with you this evening. Now, next thing. This fired me up today. Folks, my love for college football, I'm not going to say it's wavering. My love for LSU will never waver. Never, ever, ever. But my love for college football is starting to crumble just a little bit. Today, out of nowhere, I don't think there was a lead up to this. The SEC just decided to release their 2025 schedule. What I found really shady about this is, guess what? They could have held an event, right? That would have drawn absolutely crazy ratings. Any type of schedule reveal when it comes to college football is a big deal in the Southeastern Conference, okay? So the fact that the SEC didn't do that today let me know that they knew that they were doing something that was very unpopular. They released the schedule, and basically, for those that are just now learning this, whether listening to podcasts or live stream or whatever, they essentially just flip the schedule. So every SEC team that LSU plays this season, they will play next season in opposite order, basically. So you will play Alabama away in 2025. You'll play them home in 2024. The 2024 schedule is already released. So this is what it looks like. So if you're watching, you could see it for yourself. LSU at home next season will have Arkansas, Florida, South Carolina, Texas A&M. This is for 2025. So not this coming season, but the next season. Then versus Alabama away, at Ole Miss away, at Oklahoma away, at Vanderbilt, and of course, a tough season opener at Clemson. This is a murderer's row away schedule. That's really, really tough. At Clemson, at Oklahoma, at Ole Miss, at Alabama. Now, Ole Miss is going to regress some. This is their all-in year. They're going to basically be losing their entire roster, and Vanderbilt is Vanderbilt. But still, at Alabama, at Oklahoma, and we'll see what Dabo's Clemson looks like in a couple years. It wouldn't shock me if Dabo is gone. But what this tells me, you're looking at the schedule for 2025. Now let me show you the schedule for 2024. Now, once again, there is a lot that's going to change from now until then. Bang, this is the 2024 schedule. USC neutral field, that's going to be a tough game. But take a look at this. Nichols home, W. At South Carolina, they're not going to be that good, W. UCLA at home, W. South Alabama, W. You get a bye week before you welcome that talented Ole Miss team. Ole Miss will not have a bye before us, so that should be a W. At Arkansas, I've done a ton of breakdowns on Arkansas on the SEC channel. This is not a good football team. You get a back-to-back road game against Texas A&M, that could be a loss. I very well could see it. Then you get a bye week, and then you get Alabama at home. You get a weird Florida team on the road, Vanderbilt, and then Oklahoma comes to Tiger Stadium. Y'all, I understand this is a lot of projecting for the future. This next season might need to be our playoff push. You got to look at it this way. In 2025, you got to replace both offensive tackles. You got to replace an offensive guard. You've got to find, let's just say, C.J. Daniels and Kyren Lacy are your two top receivers. You got to find two guys to replace them because they'll be gone. Josh Williams will be gone. Mason Taylor will likely make that leap. And then defensively, you got to understand this LSU defense is actually relatively experienced. There's a lot of older guys with ambiguous amounts of eligibility left. We don't know what the defense is even going to look like next season. But just looking at this schedule in 2024 and then in 2025, 2024 schedule is easier. It's just easier. And the thing that kind of sucks about it is, as Jared points out, this is a super chat question. He says, I hate the home schedule in 2025. This is another minor storyline here. This is the worst home slate of games we have ever seen at LSU. The worst. Arkansas, meh. Florida's always a fun game. I'm super excited that we get to have this game for two more seasons. Arkansas and Florida are my two favorite games of the season. South Carolina, there's no real history with LSU and South Carolina. And you guys have heard me about the forced LSU-Texas A&M quote-unquote rivalry that's not even played on Rivalry Week anymore. This is a crappy home slate. And here's the thing about slates at LSU. You never have bad home slates. You don't at LSU. Alternating years, you had a home game versus Florida, home game versus Alabama. That still exists, but Florida's not what it used to be, and Saban's gone. And then, you know, Arkansas's terrible, South Carolina's terrible, Texas A&M. You lose one of the critical games, one of the absolutely positively most critical games in the modern day history of LSU football, Auburn. We are guaranteed to not play the Auburn Tigers for not only this season, but the next. You can't tell the history of LSU football without the Auburn Tigers. And if you are a traditionalist, you know the longest standing rivalry that LSU has had is Mississippi State. That's a team that they have played more years than anyone else, at least, or the, I think it's the consecutive amount of years that they played each other. For 2 years, you don't play Mississippi State. That game means a lot to some old timers. So it's a weird schedule, and it's lazy. That's why the SEC Network didn't do a reveal show, because there was nothing to reveal. Nothing. Think about the ratings that would have drawn. Everybody wants to know what the 2025 schedule is going to look like. And then on top of that, y'all, 8-game conference schedule. You're going to have it again in 2025. We can get into a big debate about how you want the schedule to work itself out, but a 9-game conference schedule is better for everyone. That's what LSU wants. That's what Brian Kelly wants. That's what Scott Woodward wants. You could still make a case, though, that an 8-game conference schedule benefits everyone. It is the easier way to do things. Money-wise, it's also easier to do those things, but I guarantee you, in 2026, you'll see the 9-game conference schedule. I do think you'll see that simply because ESPN is paying $1.3 billion a year for the college football playoff. They're going to want better inventory. So I could see a 9-game conference schedule then, but I still don't understand the logic behind just rolling out the same exact schedule. The same exact one. Did you know that Georgia has never played at Texas A&M? They will play at Texas before they play at Texas A&M, according to Emil, one of our patrons. Y'all, this is just not a good day for the SEC. It's not. I find this lazy. I find this the easy way to do things. It's not even a conference. It's not even a conference if you don't play anybody else other than the same teams, okay? And there was plenty of ways to work around this. You could have done a one permanent team and then rotate the other seven teams. I get really passionate about this stuff, and I've said this on pretty much every show I go on. The only thing I care about in sports is the schedule formatting. I care about that more than anything. And my love for college football far outweighed its very weird scheduling format. And the only thing that made the schedule so much fun is because of the scarcity of games. But how the SEC has scheduled games has always been butchered. No one, Greg Sankey, Mike Slive, has ever been able to get this right with the permanent cross-division rival rule that never made sense. 8-game conference schedules. I'm okay with that, but have some sensibility on how to properly rotate teams. It is bad. This is really, really, really bad what happened today in the SEC. But mostly from an LSU perspective, these are the two major takeaways you should take with you as you move along with your lovely existence. So first takeaway is this is not what LSU wants. They want a 9-game conference schedule. That has been publicly known. Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly have both said that. You come to the SEC to play the best teams. Let's play more of them. That doesn't help South Carolina. That doesn't help Kentucky. That doesn't help Arkansas. That doesn't help the bottom feeders, Vanderbilt. And Dave Bartu, who we've had on here, he and I get into big arguments about this. 8 versus 9, 9 versus 8. Which one's actually better? He believes 8. I believe 9. But it is easier for everyone with only 8. So LSU wanted 9. The second big takeaway from this surprising schedule reveal, unless I was missing, you know, an email or something, I didn't know, is the 2025 schedule for LSU is a lot harder than the 2024 schedule. And one thing to keep in mind about the 2025 versus 2024 thing, the positions that are most heavily affected by playing on the road is offensive tackle. That's how I've always felt, because you can't really hear anything. The snap count advantage is so in favor of the defense. We're losing both our offensive tackles this next season, unless they aren't first-round picks and they want to play their senior season. One can always hope, but that's not here nor there. So, let me take a look at the poll question here. Type Y for yes, type N for no if you can hear me loud and clear. Thoughts on the 2025 SEC schedule? 42% of you say you love it. I'm shocked. 33% of you say meh. 25% of you say hate it. I absolutely positively despise it. There are few things I have hated that the SEC has done more than this. I was floored when I saw that. Floored. You would think with one of the best college football games played in the past decade, LSU versus Texas, and then we have a worldwide pandemic and we don't have the return game, LSU versus Texas in Baton Rouge. You would think that they would remedy that the first possible opportunity, but no, we don't get the Texas return trip for whatever reason, which I think is BS. I would love to play Texas, even though they're going to be good. They're going to be really good. They're for the foreseeable future. They're just loaded. But I'm not happy. I am not a happy camper today whatsoever. Now, if you have any questions about the schedule or anything along those lines, feel free to let me know. Next thing. I want, and of course, Pick Six, they did this. You know how I feel about it. I grew up loving this game. But the Thanksgiving LSU versus Arkansas thing, it was just so one-sided. Only Arkansas really cared about it. LSU didn't care as much about the Golden Boot as Arkansas did. For Arkansas every year, it's their Super Bowl. So I'm glad that we keep LSU in Florida for two more seasons, but that is at the expense of not playing Auburn for two seasons. I can care less kind of about Mississippi State. But LSU-Auburn is just tough. It's just tough to not have. It is a staple in the SEC. It's a staple of weirdness. It's not like LSU-Auburn was ever like a legendary game. Oftentimes, it was a very ugly game, but it was close. There's not a whole lot of just aesthetically pleasing games, but they always played in the middle of the season. It was always a knockout, dragout. There's always just weird college football things that happened in that game. Okay. And then, of course, the 07 game is legendary. The 2019 game is obviously a big game for a lot of different reasons. And they have some big wins versus us. You know, the nail in the coffin of Les Miles with Gus Malzahn. That was in 2016. So there's obviously some big games mixed in there. But it's crazy. Ed says he wanted us to drop Florida. Now, let's talk Matt McMahon. All right. This is not going to be pretty. And I understand that we have some super diehard Matt McMahon supporters in here. We have season ticket holders in here. Okay. I understand that this is year two of a rebuild that he had to take over with tough parameters with what was left from the Will Wade scandal and whatnot. But this is the record here kind of encapsulates Matt McMahon. He's a decent coach. 17-16, 9-9 in conference, 12-6 at home, 3-7 on the road. And the sign of a good coach is having your team get better as the season moved on. And this team just did not get better as the season moved on. Highlighted, of course, by North Texas. The scoreline wasn't really an indication of how badly they beat us yesterday. They were in firm control of this game midway through the first half towards the end. There was never really a time in the second half where I was like, okay, we're going to win this game. So this was a team you beat earlier in the season. It's hard to beat a good team twice. North Texas, of course, is a good team. But you shouldn't be getting wiped off the floor in that spot. Mississippi State, you were winning comfortably at halftime. And this is just something that happens with Matt McMahon teams. You go on these long, weird stretches where you're not doing anything right. Missouri, same thing. They're winning by a lot. This should have been a blowout. Missouri's probably one of the worst SEC teams ever. And they come back at the very end and make that game very interesting. Arkansas in a must-win game. This was a bad Arkansas team, and they pretty much blew you out in that one. You beat Vanderbilt. You had a thrilling win versus Georgia there at the end. But then again, at home, blown out by Mississippi State. Mississippi State's a good team. They were essentially a bubble team. And then, you know, you had these two thrilling victories versus South Carolina and Kentucky, okay? Really good wins. These are good wins versus NCAA tournament teams. But they are one-point wins, somewhat miraculous wins. The Kentucky win was probably the highest basketball IQ play I've ever seen from Jordan Wright, to just throw the ball in the air and we were able to tip it in. Florida, we won a close one there. Alabama blows us out. Tennessee, of course, blows us out. They're very good. We blow Arkansas out. Once again, they were bad. And blowout versus Alabama. Rattled out a game winner versus Georgia. Loss at home versus a good Texas A&M team. But you did beat Ole Miss. That's a good W. But as you just keep going down, you see just weird results. And then, of course, you get all the way up here. And once again, blown out by a not-so-great Syracuse team. And this was a tough loss to Dayton. Dayton's a really good team. But you lost to Nichols. So I will say this. I am fine with Matt McMahon getting another year. He's got a very lucrative contract. I'm fine with letting him coach another season and reevaluating. There's a lot of change happening, of course, with, you know, the PMAC renovations and all of that. Maybe it's better to just keep continuity and see what he can do in year three. But at this point, once again, I'm the football guy, but I do love college basketball. And I'm a college basketball play-by-play announcer. I love the sport. I really do. Women's, men's, whatever. He's a decent coach. He is a decent coach. Now, when it comes to LSU being a college basketball program, we are a decent college basketball program. We have a Final Four in the last couple of decades. We have freaking legendary players. Our starting five would probably be favored over most schools' all-time starting fives. There are legendary players. Lots of guys that are in the NBA from LSU right now. No, like, bona fide superstars, but good players, really good players. So it's not our MO. It's not. Women's basketball has always been better than men's, or at least in the recent years, or the past couple of decades. Football more than men's basketball, baseball over men's basketball, softball over men's basketball, gymnastics over men's basketball, track and field over men's basketball. So it's never really been our MO, but we should be better than decent. Okay, we just should. I don't know if McMahon is necessarily an elite recruiter. I don't know if he is an elite strategist. It's just kind of tough to see. I think he's a good guy. He's someone that I've rooted for. He's not going to be involved in any type of scandal or anything like that. That's sometimes half the battle. So I'm fine with rolling it back. But this season was a little bit more disappointing than what a lot of people would like to admit. All right. I felt this team should have been better. I just do. And it's not necessarily results. It's just actually sitting and watching the games, noticing trends. If you sit and watch a lot of LSU basketball, which I don't, I know Jared does, I know a few of you do, you notice this, these 13-0 runs. And then you have these games where you're getting blown out by 20 or 25 in the second half, and then you come back. You have some games where you're winning by 20, 25. Let the other team come back. There's just chaotic runs in LSU basketball games, unlike any team I've ever seen. And college basketball is a game of runs. I don't know if I see it. I don't know, but we'll see. If you get an elite portal class, get in the NCAA tournament, Matt McMahon could prove me wrong. I'm fine with him getting another season, but I'm just in the middle here on that, and I hate being in the middle on things. I really, really, really do. I'm not in the middle on pretty much every other coach we have. I love Beth Tarina. I do. Obviously, Kim Mulkey is a legend. Jay Johnson is arguably the best coach on campus right now with LSU baseball rolling the way it is. It's either him or Kim or Brian Kelly. And obviously, gymnastics is in a very good spot. They're still very hot. Track and field, so on and so on. And this would be my final thing about McMahon. There were two other coaches in the SEC that had similar trajectories as Matt McMahon, and they both went to programs that are kind of similar to LSU. Yeah, Todd Golden a few years ago go to Florida. Todd Golden was another one of these young mid-major coaches. He goes to Florida. He gets Florida in the NCAA tournament this year. They're a really good team. You have Lamont Paris at South Carolina. Lamont Paris goes to a program similar to LSU. South Carolina, obviously a lot of women's basketball tradition, not so much men's, but you know, they were a good program under Frank Martin for quite some time. They're not a great program, kind of like LSU. We're not a top 25 program, top 50, sure. Those two guys have extensions. Those two guys have their teams in the tournament. In year two, we really weren't close to the tournament. We just weren't. So there you go. It's tough. College basketball is really tough, but that's what I have to say about that. So let me ask you this. Type Y for yes. Type N for no. You believe Matt McMahon is a very good coach. I'm not going to say great coach. I think he's decent. Type Y for yes. Type N for no. You think Matt McMahon is a very good coach. I think expecting very good is a fine way of looking at it. I'm fine with very good. Football, I need elite. Baseball, I need elite. Women's basketball, we have elite now. Those three sports are always going to be the sports that, from this point forward, need to be elite. There are national championship programs. And then, of course, softball and gymnastics, it's great. And then track and field, that's great as well. Those three sports are what we are known for nationally and internationally. Okay? So that's where I am today. Next thing. And feel free to fire your questions in. If you want to push against anything I said, feel free to fire it in. Okay. I do want to get to this here. It's brief. But Coach Prime, I'm not going to let A-listers and even middle-tier draft analysts slander Jaden Daniels. It is truly crazy. See, Joe Burrow couldn't have been slandered because he was a number one pick and won the Heisman, won the national championship. He removed all doubt. But there is still this prevailing belief that there is, and I just feel this way, that there is something tainted about what Jaden Daniels did. And there really is only one argument you can make against what Jaden Daniels did this year, which was statistically the greatest Heisman Trophy season we have ever seen. It's just the facts. I don't make the facts. It's just the facts. Him and Joe Burrow are in a different tier statistically than everyone else. And then on that next tier, when it comes to just stats, it's like Kyler Murray and a few others, all right? Now, if you want to talk about best Heisman seasons, you can argue Cam Newton. Cam Newton is definitely in that mix. He's probably one of the greatest football players I've ever seen in person, all right? But there's just something that people like to do with Jaden Daniels. So Prime was at a press conference earlier today, and he said his son would have been the second quarterback taken in this draft, which is just not true. You would be a lunatic to take Shedeur Sanders over Jaden Daniels at this point. That's essentially what the cliff notes of what he said. Are people blind? Are we forgetting what's happened? I've told you for months now that there's just a feeling that I have that some idiot team is going to take J.J. McCarthy over Jaden Daniels. Then I had someone who I trust tell me the same thing. Don't be shocked that J.J. McCarthy is taken before Jaden Daniels. And it's a stupid idea that wins and losses, that J.J. McCarthy only lost one game as a starter. But he had a defense. Jaden Daniels didn't have a defense. You give him Michigan's defense, we win the national championship. No questions asked. Blow Michigan out. There's just people want to poke holes in Jaden Daniels. The only thing you can say, there's only one thing, is that with the COVID extra season and him being older and having 5 years of starters experience, it gave him a significant advantage, and it did. But that is literally the only thing. And even with that advantage, the way he played quarterback was unlike anything we have ever seen before. So it's time, and I understand I'm speaking in an echo chamber here because we're all LSU fans. We know it. We saw it. We saw the 600-yard game versus Florida. If you want to sit here and make the argument of Drake May over Jaden Daniels, I'm here to hear it out. Drake May over Jaden Daniels, I can see that. I could see that. I don't agree with it. Their college production is not even comparable. Obviously, Jaden Daniels had a superstar supporting cast. Drake May did not. Drake May had a far worse offensive line, far worse coaching staff, far worse running back room, far worse group of receivers. You know, Jaden is. I could listen to Drake May over Jaden Daniels. I like Drake May. But Shador Sanders overtaking Daniels? Come on. Yeah, I mean, it's for some reason, TOV, there are a lot of people. And Tomcat, thank you for the super chat. Good to see you, man. Shout out to you and Brian holding down in the 337. Let's go. There is a prevalent belief with some of the media that Jaden Daniels Heisman wasn't legitimate because he had three losses or whatever reason. It should have been Michael Penix when he shouldn't have been the Heisman Trophy winner. Michael Penix had multiple games with zero touchdowns. Jaden Daniels did not. So there you go. All right, I'm going to play a little bit more of this Garrett Nussmeier audio. And I want to, you know, kind of pick it apart.
Yeah, how's the spring going? It's been going good. You know, it's obviously, you know, we lost a lot of talent. But, you know, I think we've done a very good job as an offense and, you know, developing our identity and, you know, finding ways to make up for those losses. And I think guys have stepped up, and that was the biggest thing. You know, guys have stepped up in their different positions. And, you know, I think things have gone really well so far.
What is the spring going to be for you? Is it about seeing what you got, or is it already about refining some of it?
I mean, I think it's just always, you know, focusing on getting better. But more than anything, it's about us. It's not about me. It's not about me taking over or anything like that. It's, like I said, about us developing our identity. And, you know, it's us meshing and you know, molding into who we want to be as an offense and as a unit. So.
Mason was just talking about, you know, new leader, and you kind of took over right away. Students, Jaden, you know, after the last game, how do you tangibly do that? Like, do you get in the group chat and just go, hey, boys, the workout is at 5 a.m.? Or what was the first step?
Yeah, I mean, it's just through relationships. You know, it's these are guys I've been around for a long time. You know, these are guys that I spent a lot of time with. And, you know, we've just built relationships over time, and it's easy when it's done that way. You know, I think that's important, you know, especially in my position and playing quarterback. You know, it's having relationships with your teammates. So, you know, we spend time on the weekends together. We do whatever. And I think that's where it starts. It's building relationships with those guys. So.
Is there kind of an attitude or a mantra of like, guys, you know, JD5 is out, but it's not going to drop off? Or, you know, Malik is out, Kai, yeah. You're the guy. You know, like, is there kind of an attitude going into 2024?
No. I mean, you can't focus on, you know, the 2023, 2024 LSU football team is gone. It's no longer. It's now us, and it's our team. You know, it's not a diss at those guys. Obviously, we have lots of respect for them and, you know, everything they taught us and they showed us. But, I mean, it doesn't matter anymore for us. You know, now it's about what we do. And, you know, it doesn't matter that we won 10 games and whatever, back-to-back years. It doesn't matter anymore. You know, if we go 5-5 or 5-7, whatever it adds up to this year, like, it doesn't matter. So now it's about us and who we want to be. And, you know, I'm sure if you ask those guys that are gone, they would say the same thing. You know, it's about what we want to be and what we want to do this year. And, you know, the level and the standard that we are holding ourselves to.
With Brian and Malik gone, how is that receiving room taking shape? And, yeah. You know, we always make a big deal about, okay, who's the one, who's the two, who's the three? Do we not even need to think about that? It's just guys going out for passes?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of athletes in there, a lot of guys that can make plays. And, you know, I think they've all stepped up. You know, everybody has, you know, taken the advantage of their opportunities and, you know, they're doing whatever they can to help and you know, play at a high level. And I think, you know, our chemistry and right now our explosiveness has been very, very good because of that. So.
Tell me about your offensive line. As a guy that's going to take over, you know, as the first full-time starter, imagine it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a blessing, you know, when you're back there and you got those guys in front of you, it's a feeling of safeness almost, I guess you could say. You know, those are guys that they're dogs. You know, they're very good. They're strong as a unit. They got the best O-line coach in the country. And, you know, they care about each other. They care about our team and they care about doing things the right way. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, they're a solid group, you know, in our offense and even on our entire team that just, is an example of what we want to be. And, you know, and they set a great example. They do it with action and they do it with words. And, you know, guys like Will and Emery and Dellinger and Miles Frazier and even DJ stepping up, you know, they've all done a great job. And, you know, they're really stepping up as leaders. And it's an example for us to look at as an offense.
I'm not going to downplay your athleticism, but would you look at the way maybe Joe ran the ball, like effective when need to be and not necessarily an all-time threat? How do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, having some sort of running ability to keep a defense honest is important. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to showcase that or you know, do that yet. And, you know, it'll come. And, you know, I understand, you know, and everybody knows that that's not my play style to be running 50% of the time. But, I mean, I think it's important to run 15% of the time. Or you know, when things aren't good and, you know, you got to get a couple third downs a game with your feet. And, you know, I know that. And, you know, whenever it's there, I'll take it. So, you know, I wouldn't say that, like, my focus is showing everybody how athletic I am. You know, that's I don't really buy into that or listen to anything that's said about me or us. You know, I'm just focused on doing things the right way. And when it's time for me to run, then I will do it. So
there you go. So I wanted to get to that portion. We already played the 10 wins isn't good enough quote that he said a little bit earlier. The running part is very interesting. I think the Wisconsin game, he really didn't have a whole lot of rush lanes. There have been other games, especially early on in his career, that he's had opportunities to take some yards while that were there for him to run, and he didn't take them. So next year, obviously, he just acknowledged that he will be doing some of that. So I'm really excited about that for Garrett Nussmeier. But I just think he's going to be very, very, very good. And yesterday we talked about the SEC hierarchy of quarterbacks. Where is he on that hierarchy? I'd firmly put him in the top five and probably closer to the top three. There are some guys that I think could be undervalued, like a Connor Wigman, but it is amazing listening to him talk, the leadership, how much love he's had in this locker room. I've been told that for years now. And this is year four of his development. You know, you had to wait a long time to break through basically everything. And him basically say, none of that matters now. It is now. Now is what matters now. So, obviously, son of a coach, unbelievably well-spoken kid. A lot like Jaden and Joe in interviews, right? That's what you want out of your quarterback. You want your quarterback to be like that. So there you go. Of course, we'll have plenty of time to talk about Garrett Nussmeier. I do want to say one thing, all right? And in the next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll take as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, I don't mind going until 9 p.m. But Wednesdays are normally our 1 hour live streams. One thing happened today in the SEC that made me happy. One thing is that Alabama, even after Nick Saban left, even after he left, they're still doing things to anger us. They're still doing shady things. And this next one, if you've not heard this, might be the shadiest. It's coming up after this.
PHL Nation. Oh, yeah, baby. You know about Louisiana Controls. They've been showing us love throughout this college football season, and I'm looking for you to do the same when it comes to your energy management commercial HVAC needs. It is all with our buddies who have been doing this for over 40 years. Yes, that is 4 decades. You know this Louisiana weather gets crazy. Go to LouisianaControls.com or call 225-924-4990, baby. Let's go.
Don't forget, PowerHourLSU.com/shop is where you can get your exclusive PHL merch. Hoodies for sale. Long sleeve shirt. That's what I'm wearing. I wear this shirt probably more than any of the other shirts I have. I was going to rock my Let's Go shirt, but I was kind of in a long sleeve mood before it gets a little too hot outside. PowerHourLSU.com/shop. Web bill is coming up, so get all your merch. Huh? Huh? Ah, Semper, what's good? The Messiah is him. Good to have you, man. Now, let's chat about Alabama. So, Caden Proctor goes to Iowa. And apparently, according to the Iowa fan base, he took a nice NIL deal to go back home and play for Iowa. So, Caden Proctor, five-star offensive tackle, had a standout season last year for Alabama as a first-team All-SEC-er. When I saw him play, he was kind of meh. Landon Jackson had a career day versus this young man. So, I'm just kind of in the middle. But I'm not in the middle over what he did. And now there are rumors that the safety for Alabama, another true freshman sensation, another five-star, Caleb Downs, goes to Ohio State. And both him and Proctor are thinking about coming back. Caden Proctor has already said he's going to come back. So he goes to Iowa, gets an NIL check, probably won't ever practice for him, and he's coming back to Alabama. I blame the NCAA for never putting guardrails on NIL. I blame the current state of college football. I don't know if I blame Proctor, but I will tell you this. Caden Proctor announcing that he was coming back to Alabama, he quote tweeted a Michael or quote Instagram, a Michael Jordan meme saying, "I'm back." And if that is not the single most insufferable thing I've seen a teenager do, and I understand he's just a teenager, you screwed over the home state team to go back to Alabama where you are just a number. You are just, Alabama's had a gazillion great offensive tackles. A gazillion offensive tackles go in the first round. Jedrick Wills, ironically Cam Robinson, Alex Leatherwood, and the list goes on. And instead of playing for the home state's team, which, by the way, Iowa has produced a ton of great offensive linemen, you decide to crap all over the fan base and then do the "I'm back." It would be one thing if you just went back to Alabama, but the "I'm back," come on. Do better than that. But then again, it's Alabama. And as D-Rock Irish points out, this is the second time he's done this to Iowa. Second time he's broken their hearts. And Caleb Downs rumored that he might be doing the same thing. Might be doing the same thing. It's inexcusable. I'm so fired up. This is going to be my fired up thing. The pulsing lights. If the lights are pulsing, that means I'm fired up. College football used to be sacred. But hey, if you have no guardrails, no employee status, none of that, it's just free market capitalism at its finest. Oh, you want me to pay just for me to show up? Just for me to sign? Just for me to say sayonara? I am getting the F out of here. Caden Proctor. Back to Tuscaloosa, too. Back to Tuscaloosa. Your first round pick at Iowa and you're an Iowa native. Hell, they'll remember you forever. Alabama, you're not even a top five offensive tackle. And we got two Lafayettes talking about the Marine Corps. Good stuff. No play, no pay contracts are coming. Tiggs Bits, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You know, a few other things before we skedaddle. I just want to say thank you again for what you guys did for the NFL channel. We had 1,000 subs in, I think it was like 35 days. It's insane. It is so hard to do that on a sports channel if you're not a famous athlete like JJ Redick or something like that. I'm a nobody. So my content has got to kick enough butt for me to be able to succeed. And you guys really pushed it. I really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone that subscribed to Power Hour NFL and devoted a lot of my time to getting that to 1,000 while also providing kick butt content here on PHL. Now, I have tried to give this card out. I don't know if you guys have something against Christian Fulton, but the next PHL patron will get this card. All right. And you also get a Joe Burrow card in the mail because on Patreon, I released a new spring practice breakdown. So if you saw earlier, I released a public spring practice breakdown. It's what we do for every spring practice footage chunk that is released to the media. We always record it and try and put it out the same day. But there are extra bits. I saved my defensive line breakdown for our patrons. The next thing, if you are a PHL patron, please go sign up for our bracket challenge. We are giving away the largest Will Campbell autograph I have ever seen. I've already got it sealed and delivered in this large tube. All right. So if you want this huge, I think it's like the size of this Joe Burrow painting. Go sign up for the Patreon, and you got to do it before the first games tip off tomorrow and get yourself in the bracket challenge. Skipper's in there, Sherry's in there. And I will tell you this. And this is just how I feel. I said it earlier this week on Blake's show. I will say it again here. This has been a brutal week for me in terms of my love for college sports. It has really been a brutal week. So we had this absolutely atrocity SEC schedule released today where we're just playing the same exact teams we play in 2024, in 2025, but we're flipping the teams around, okay? So we have that. We have this Caden Proctor thing. We have basically the highlight of college football is Nick Saban in Congress. You got all this stuff going on. And then for the first week in my adult existence, so 30 plus years of existence, I love doing the bracket challenge because I love doing things for my patrons. I really, really, really do. But I have never been less excited to fill out a college basketball bracket. And I don't know why. Last year's tournament was great. There were a ton of upsets. It was a lot of fun. And let me know if you guys like the pulsing lights. I kind of like it. It might be a new thing. I don't know. I have no desire. I kind of just want to watch the tournament. I kind of just want to not worry about my bracket or whatever. You know, my best friend Larkin, he just texted me a minute ago and said, hey, you filling out your bracket? Because I do a bracket pool with all my close friends. And I said, I don't know if I want to. I don't know. So I'll be filling mine out for the PHL Bracket Challenge because I don't want to give away my Will Campbell photo. It's pretty big, not going to lie. And it could be worth something. You know, the prices of college autos go up before the NFL draft. So this photo very well, if Will is a top five pick next year, I don't know. It just depends on what the autograph market looks like. And I think this is my last Will Campbell auto, so I'm going to have to go buy a new one since I'm giving out my big one here. So there you go. If you're a PHL patron, you get access to our bracket challenge. Now, we'll take a few more here. Let's see. George, I appreciate you. George Neinstedt. That, when you see a last a first and last name, the first thing is, people named George are normally successful people. George is on the higher end scale of successful people. There's not a whole lot of just do nothing Georges, right? There's successful Georges. There's also curious Georges. But George Neinstedt, that sounds awesome. That just sounds like a great name. Welcome to the channel, George. We hope to see you comment more often. You sound like you're an architect or something successful, doctor. Dr. Neinstedt. That sounds pretty good. But Dr. Neinstedt either sounds like you're an actual doctor or you're a scientist. Either one. George, I appreciate you, man. Jared has the Fighting Cowboys of McNeese going to the Final Four. Hey, I told you, I knew George would be an architect. I can tell what each one of you guys do for a job just by looking at you. Just, I don't even see George. I can see the name, and I can automatically tell what you do. But yeah, I got to be honest. It was a rough week this week for my love for college sports. And guess what? That's how it is. Things evolve over time. And, you know, I honestly think the most sacred thing we have in college sports is women's basketball. But then again, I'm biased because our team is great. And I also hate the women's basketball officiating. It is, the game is officiated horribly. Lawn maintenance. Close enough. Architect, lawn maintenance, basically the same thing. If you build houses, guess what you need when you build a nice house? You need your lawn trim. You need it weed-eated. You need it watered. You need it green. I don't know. Huh? George Neinstedt. We get that lawn all set up. All right. I do want to chat a little bit about this here at the end. I don't know exactly how I feel about the hip drop tackle. So there's a very public discussion happened about this in the NFL. And normally rules that happen in the NFL trickle down to basically everywhere, right? Horse collar, the head-to-head, all that stuff, even though head-to-head's a bigger deal in college. So there you go. Skipper points out the Patreon spring practice was good, just not long enough. Okay, well, I normally cut a lot out. Sometimes I feel our Patreon breakdowns can be a little too long. I like to keep them short because you live busy lives. But yeah, I'll make a longer one next time just for you, Skipper. How about that? So they're thinking about banning the hip drop tackle. And if you don't know what the hip drop tackle is, let me see. I could probably pull up a quick video of a hip drop. This is the type of injury that hurt Jordan Travis. And this also hurt Tony Pollard. Okay, so this is an actual photo of the hip drop tackle hurting Tony Pollard in the playoffs, not last year, but the year before. And it's when a defender whips his body around and puts his hip on your back leg and it just rolls up on, you know, a leg, right? Let me see if I could find a quick video of it so we can make sure we are all on the same page here. And I can't find a video, but oh yeah, the same game Joe Burrow was out for the year is also the same game where Mark Andrews had this happen to him. There's another photo of a hip drop right there. And there you go. So you'll see that the linebacker here is whipping his body around. He was on to your right side of Andrews, and he whipped his body and put it on top of Andrews' leg, and it basically fractured that ankle, sprained it, and yeah, he wasn't able to come back until the AFC Championship game. So you see Jared out here. Looks like it's just an attempt to get a guy down. I kind of want to sleep on this. I kind of want to form the best opinion. It's been a huge back and forth in amongst players who played, right? Sean Merriman is for the hip drop tackle to be banned. Richard Sherman is not. And if you're a defensive player, all the rules are already against you. So here would be another one. I don't know. I can hear out both sides to it. But the hip drop tackle is allegedly what changed the college football playoff. So Skipper apparently is also against it. So that's fine. That's fine if you are. This is one of the tougher ones. Horse collar, yeah. Ban that one. So just keep that in mind. We'll take a few more here at the end.
Sexy switch it up here. There's an auto.
There we go. That's an auto switch. Is that technique taught? I would say no chance. Sometimes I just think it's natural. And part of it also is it's just effective. You know, one way to make sure a guy goes down is clamping down his leg to the ground. You're never guaranteed to bring someone down by tackling them high. Ask Auburn versus Leonard Fournette. So TOV is for the hip drop tackle being banned. It's definitely the toughest. It's definitely the toughest one. I think it will. I really do think it will. It's like the Jordan Travis thing, right? All right, y'all. Thank goodness we had some super chats tonight. Big thanks to Semper. TK, man, the 337, y'all are always generous. And Jared Immobile is our top super chatter tonight. Thank you so much, Jared. I appreciate it. We had zero super chats yesterday. But I believe someone got a shirt or something like that. I'm not so sure. We will talk to you soon. Thank you guys so much. And Power Hour, LSU, boom. And And tonight, oh, these things smell so good. They smell so good, these burger patties. Let's freaking go. Ha, ha, ha.